Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of year where we can think about your love for us shown in Jesus Christ. As we do that, please fill our minds with your truth and please shape our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now, Christmas is a time of year when we love to think about generosity. And I don't know about you, but I find generosity very moving. It only takes one look at one of those adverts about children saving up to buy presents for their parents, and I find I'm welling up with tears. Being British, of course, I hide it and pretend I've got something stuck in my eye. Well, in 2008, I spent the Sunday after Christmas at a church in India, and it was in a very poor part of India. And I must confess, before the service started, I was shocked by the poverty that I saw around me in the people in that congregation and in the place where we were meeting. But then, to my surprise, the service started with thanksgiving for how much God had given them. And then that was followed by the taking of a collection for blind people in their city. And again, I found myself being overcome with emotion as I saw such generosity from those who were in such poverty. Well, I want us to think this morning about the ultimate act of generosity. It's a generosity which happened in real history, and it's a generosity which affects each one of us, which can make us truly rich, and it's a generosity which changes us, that makes us that bit kinder, that bit more compassionate, that bit more generous ourselves. I'm basing the talk this morning on one verse, which I think we can have on the screen. It's from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, a little later in the New Testament. And Paul wrote this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Now, a bit later, I'm going to say something about the setting of that verse in the chapter. But for now, let's notice two halves of Jesus' incredible generosity to us. The first half is that he became poor for us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. You see, for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ had been unimaginably rich. Now, reading in John's Gospel, he's called the Word. We're told that in the beginning was the Word. He was with God and he was God. For eternity, he had been rich in glory and in splendor. And above all, he'd been rich in relationship within God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, enjoying perfect love with each other. And then that first Christmas, he became poor for us. The Word became flesh. And not only that, as we read in Luke's Gospel, he was laid in a manger because there was no other room for him. Now, we tend to sentimentalise this. I've got Christmas cards at home that show a 5-star stable with disinfected straw and the kindest, cleanest, most well-behaved animals you've ever seen standing round the manger. But of course, this was desperate poverty. To have to place your newborn baby in the dirt and germs of an animal's feeding trough was a last resort. Now, he was poor at his birth, and he was poor in his life, rejected by many, even by his family at times, often with nowhere to lay his head. But the Lord Jesus was poorest of all when he died on the cross, naked, in agony, and actually, worst of all, taking the sins of the world on himself. You know, on the cross, he was separated from that love of God the Father he'd had forever as he took the judgment of the sins of the world in our place. Oh yes, he became poor and he did it for us. Have we realized how deeply Jesus loves us? I read about a man called Jeffrey Bull, and he was a missionary in China in the middle of the 20th century. And in 1949, when the communists came to power in that country, Geoffrey Bull was captured and arrested. And he was made to march a long distance through the winter to a prison camp. And one night on that march, his captors told him, go down to the stable and muck out the horses. So he went down, and it was freezing cold, and it was dark, and he was standing in the muck, and he was expecting at any minute to be felled by a vicious kick from one of the animals. Well, as he was down there, he started to despair. And then he thought to himself, hang on, what day is it? And he'd almost lost track of the date on that march, but he realised it was Christmas Eve. And then looking around at the dark, at the cold, at the mess he was in, it struck him more deeply before that it was to a place just like that that the King of Heaven had come for him. And later he wrote that he knelt in the filth and worshipped Christ for his love. You see, the love of Jesus is not just an idea or a theory. It is real. He loves you so much, he loves me so much, that he became poor for us. And in our sentence, Paul calls this love grace, which just means undeserved love. We don't deserve it, but that's how much he loves us. He became poor for us. And that is the first half of the generosity of Jesus. But he had a purpose in doing this, and that's the second half of his generosity. He became poor so that we can become rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I mentioned earlier how Christmas adverts can make me emotional, and one that's got me going this year is an advert, strangely, for BBC television programmes. I wonder if you've seen this one. It shows a frantically busy mum rushing around, and then finally she gets some time to spend with her teenage son. And the whole world seems to pause, and they ride on the dodgems, and they eat candy floss, and it ends with them hugging on a bench. And the message of the advert is that our true riches are our relationships. We know that's true, don't we? You see a group of people enjoying love for each other, and we say, they're rich. Well, those are the riches that Jesus Christ gives to us. He makes us rich, first of all, in relationship with God. We read in the Gospel of John, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, you can't get richer than being a child of God. Having God himself committing to caring for us, to providing for us, to nurturing us, and bringing at last to be with him. Having the right to draw near to God in intimate relationship as his child. Yes, Jesus Christ makes us rich in relationship with God. And he makes us rich in relationship with one another, because every Christian believer is a brother or a sister. Now, the challenge is for us to work this out in our relationships. But we have the riches of hundreds of brothers and sisters to love and be loved by. Jesus makes us rich in relationship with each other. And he makes us rich in the Holy Spirit. There is no more valuable gift than God's Spirit in our lives. The Spirit who teaches us deep down that God is our Father. The Spirit who changes us from the inside to make us like Jesus little by little. Yeah, he's made us rich in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus makes us rich in eternity. Because Christians are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. We have a future of being with him, of sharing his joy, his splendor, and his rule. Jesus became poor so that we can become truly rich. Now, I believe the richest man in the world is Jeff Bezos. He's the founder of Amazon. If your Christmas shopping has been anything like ours, you may have made him that little bit richer in the last month. I believe he has 160 billions. And I did a few calculations on the back of an envelope. What if Jeff Bezos kept his money under his bed in £50 notes, the good old-fashioned way? Well, I worked it out, and I believe that bed would be about 2 miles off the ground. Now, being a shrewd and intelligent man, I'm sure Mr. Bezos doesn't keep it under the bed, but it gives us an idea of the scale of his wealth. But I want to say very sincerely, and this scripture tells us, that the poorest Christian in the world today is richer than that. We may have great burdens today. There may be great struggles in our lives that few know of. But if we have received Jesus Christ, we are richer than that. Rich in relationship with God, rich in relationship with each other, in the Holy Spirit, and in eternity. And Christians, we have these riches not because of anything to do with us, but because of the generosity of Christ, because he became poor. He went to the manger so that we can go to glory. He was separated from the love of the Father on the cross so that we can enjoy that love forever. That is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I conclude, I want to show us two ways that his generosity affects us. The first is it changes how we think of God. To know his generosity changes how we think of God. You know, sometimes we think of God as uncaring, or as demanding, as nitpicking and critical. But God is the most generous person in the whole universe. In the person of Jesus, he became poor so that we can become rich. It may be that during the year you tend to keep Jesus Christ at arm's length, that you prefer to live your life without him in your life. Well, whenever we hear God's word, Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of our lives, not as a baby in a manger, but as the loving King of the universe. And as he knocks at the door of our lives this morning, please realize that he does not come to our lives as a burglar or a bailiff. He doesn't want to take from us. He doesn't want to demand. He doesn't want to make our lives worse. No, he comes to the door as a benefactor, as one who loves us so much that he became poor so that we can become rich. Why would we want to keep the door of our lives closed to him? Why would we want to reject those riches that he offers? And actually, Christmas is a great time to open the door to Jesus Christ. One way to start to do that would be to take with you today a Gospel of Luke, an account of Jesus' life. And one of these, so this is Christmas, a fresh explanation of the significance of it all. They're available in the foyer as our gift to you. A great way to start to get to know the one who knocks on the door of your life because he wants to make you rich. The generosity of Jesus, it changes how we think of God. He's not against us, he's for us. But actually, his generosity also changes us. If we have received Jesus' grace, it's bound to change us to make us generous to others. The setting of our verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is that Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to contribute to a collection for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And earlier in the chapter, Paul describes how the Macedonians had given to the collection. Now, like the church in India that I mentioned, the Macedonian churches were very poor. But Paul says they eagerly and generously contributed to this collection. And now Paul writes to the Corinthians because he wants them to contribute too. Not reluctantly, not because they feel they have to, but actually eagerly and generously. Now, what makes people give like that in their lives? Well, it's knowing how generous Christ has been to us, that he has made us rich, rich enough to be generous ourselves. And actually, we can apply this really generously, really, really generally. How can we be generous in kindness to those who we'll spend today with? Generous in helping practically, washing up, clearing away. Generous in patience. Generous in forgiveness to those we'll be with today. Well, it's hard work. But as we focus on the kindness of Jesus to us, it changes us, makes us kind to others. Well, how can we be generous to those who we go to school with, those we work with, those we spend time with during the year? Generous in compassion, in loving them, in praying for them, in wanting them to come to know Christ for themselves. That's hard work, isn't it? But as we focus on the compassion of Jesus, it changes us, makes us compassionate ourselves. And how can we be generous with our financial resources? Generous in giving to brothers and sisters in need, in giving to the persecuted church, for example. Generous in giving to the work of the gospel so that people can hear of the Saviour. You know, it's so easy to think, it's my money. They don't deserve it. They'll only waste it. But then we think of Jesus, and he didn't say, it's my life. They don't deserve it. They'll only waste it. No, he made himself poor so that we can become rich. And as we focus on that, it changes us. So this Christmas, let's treasure the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's celebrate it and delight in it in our hearts. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the generosity of Jesus Christ. He came to the manger and to the cross so that we can be rich in relationship with you and in relationship with each other, rich in the Holy Spirit and in eternity. We pray that this truth would change us. Help us not to keep you at arm's length, but to open the door of our lives to you. And help us to be generous to those around us, just as you have been to us.